back Diana Hogan to welcome us to this country. Warranta Takamuna Miladina Nipaguna, Muina Lutruta, Nara Puria Lumi, Manganamapli Rajimapli, Pankita Manamapli Puria, Lakapao Warranta, Mina Kani Palokani, Kani Manamapli Malukana Nizuka, Kani Lainipi, Kani Mapli Takana Lumi, Nurina Muti, Tinapri Muti, Miladina Mana Mapli. Warranta Tanakri, Nangana, Laikina, Rimata, Nara Takamuna, Lumi. Warranta Rala, Narmakli, Kavuta, Mangana, Pakana, Lumi. Mina Kani Tanakri, Nipi Nangambi, Nara Rurani, Pakana Lutana, Kutia Purili, Nipi Nangambi, Warra, Lingana, Naranatu. Hello and welcome to the 2020 Invasion Day protest. My name is Taina Hogan, I'm a Palawa, Bonjurong, and Wurundjeri woman. Together today as Nipaluna, we are in a country on the island of Lutruwita, which always was and always will be Aboriginal land. I speak Palawakani, the Tasmanian Aboriginal language that was put to sleep as a result of invasion. The tireless work and research done by community has allowed the language to be awoken, and it is now spoken widely amongst the community. Please acknowledge that a genocide took place on this land. Respect, remember and honour the Mulwinyina people who no longer exist as a result of invasion and a war that our government failed to make any acknowledgement of. We acknowledge and are grateful for those who fought the injustices and resisted for us who stand here today. We continue the fight by being here today. I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging and extend that to those lost too young, those who never made elder status. Thank you to the organisers, the TAC and my community that are here, and you, our supporters, who turn out in large numbers every year. Pressure is rising and the government cannot continue to ignore our calls. There's not much I can say that hasn't been said before. I can reiterate the fact that celebrating on January 26th is not only offensive but cruel and inhumane. It speaks to the character of so-called Australia and our government. I don't believe Australia is worth celebrating. I will never feel comfortable praising a country that continues to destroy sacred land, rape and pillage the country in the name of economy, imprison and torture children, and deny basic human rights to people of colour. I feel empathy, or rather a lack of, is central to problems faced by Australia. Though this should be no surprise, given the violent foundations of this country and the ongoing racism. It has been reported that our supposed leader, Scott Morrison, spent $190,000 engaged in consultants on how to develop empathy. Evidently, this was ineffective.
Give him a dictionary!
If Australia and our leaders were empathetic, our National Day of Celebration would not be held on a day that causes and celebrates so much pain and grief. Nainanatu, thank you.
To see someone like Tiana, such a young, proud Tasmanian Aboriginal woman, speaking the language of our ancestors and keeping our culture strong for future generations. I'd now like to invite Annie Cheryl Fulton to come and grace us with her dance, with her song.
Wind and fire, water and rain, Mother Earth still cries in pain. Rain come down to wash away tears. Don't cry, Mother, your children are here. Don't cry. Ugun, Ubrun are red in the sky. moves with us will be our guide. Island Aaliyah in the darkness glow. Don't cry, mother, your children are here. Don't cry, mother, your children are here. Don't cry, mother, your children are here. Don't cry. Our fires do not burn you. They just keep us warm. Cool ashes lay upon her aching wounds. Don't cry. Don't cry, mother, your children are here. Don't cry, mother, your children are here. Don't cry, mother, your children are here. Don't cry.
Over 50 Aboriginal men, women and children were fired upon with cannons while they were hunting a kangaroo. I also think it was important for that 1 minute silence for the Aboriginal people who were bathing in the sun at the lagoon, Jordan River Lagoon, and were fired upon by the white men. People like William Lammy, who had his head decapitated and his skin was used to make tobacco pouches. We still see William Crowther's monument standing in Franklin Square today, celebrating the man who mutilated William Lennie because of his race.
Shame!
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 We think of Truganini and how her image has been used against Tasmanian Aboriginal people to reinforce the myth that Tasmanian Aboriginals no longer exist.
Shame! Shame! Shame!
And it's also a shame that for us here today, that we have to use this day as a day to mourn the thousands and thousands of lives that were lost fighting for a war that no one talks about. We have monuments everywhere for those who fought in a war in Gallipoli, for those who fought in wars in other parts of the world, but when it comes to the war that happened right here under our feet, there is not one monument respecting or honouring the lives of our people who lost their lives right here. So thank you for that sign of respect and for being honoured for being able to honour the lives lost in this Tasmanian war. I'm very proud to welcome a man who's been a very strong and proud advocate for the Tasmanian Aboriginal people his whole life. I remember when I was very young being able to look up to this man, and I know a lot of us have looked up to him. I can't name everything that he's done, but I know he's a famous poet, playwright, activist, friend, uncle, and many more. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Jim Everett. Thank you.
Today is a day that I can cry. It's terrible. When you hear about the atrocities against Aboriginal people in Australia, not just here. And the fact that the successive governments will not move towards healing these divisions between Aboriginal people and the mainstream people of Australia shows itself to be in its own situation, and that is that Australia is still a colony. In fact, it's the most failed colony of the British Empire. They brought every feral animal and plant they could bring into this country. And they didn't understand that we lived off this country and that we could actually live here without bringing all these feral things into the place and polluting and hurting our country. Because at the end of the day, not only non-Aboriginal people of Australia, but Aboriginal people ourselves must remind ourselves that if we have a treaty in this country, the first treaty that we must all have is with country. Because that's where our laws, our language, our knowledge all come from. And so we need to return ourselves, not only white Australia, to understand and get back to our country by having treaty with our country and move forward from there. Now the reason I think that Australia, at least the Westminster system, which in my view conditions people who go into Parliament thinking they're going to make change, they are conditioned back into the old gentry thinking of Britain. And they give no quarter. So, the thing they haven't done in this country yet is that they haven't made us citizens of Australia, nor have we agreed to be citizens. From the 1967 referendum, there was an assumption that we were citizens, but it simply counted us in the census and gave the Commonwealth power to make laws for Aborigines, which they never used to make laws for us, they made laws against us. So this in itself is the very purpose that we should have an agreement. And I call it for what it is. If we ever achieve some sort of an agreement with the Australian governments in this country, it will be a domestic agreement. It will be either legislated, or if they were to go so far, it would be put into the Constitution. But it will not be a treaty as such. They will always hold some power strings. So while that's there like that, how can we get them to change the date? Well, surely the thing that will hurt mostly is that they do realise we're not citizens of Australia, and so therefore, that's the best reason they'll ever find for changing the date in this country. And we're battling, I can say my thanks right here to the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre for the annual organising of our protests against the Australia Day celebrations, which shows no respect. And what the government's doing is telling the rest of the world, much less Australia, that they have no respect for Aborigines, and therefore it's okay for the population to not have respect for us either. Now, governments change attitudes. And if they were to take the positive attitude with Aboriginal people and say, look, we think that we better stop this showing disrespect to the oldest living culture on the planet, in our country here, and change the date, with the biggest service that they would ever do to the rest of Australia, not just Aboriginal people, because what they would be getting is another $60,000 to $100,000 a year of our culture. So there's a good reason to change the date. But as I say, the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre arranges these annual protests to try and get the government to listen to the more and more people, which happily we're getting great following and support from non-Aboriginal people. We need more than that. And I call on all you supporters who are non-Aboriginal to take another step. We can't just run campaigns ourselves and get knocked back. We need your voices to start coming out. We need you to start running campaigns. We need you to tell the Australian government. These change campaigns and so forth. Get up those campaigns to tell the government, get petitions going to get to the government to say, we, the non-Aboriginal people of Australia, are calling on you to change the date and show some respect to the oldest living culture. We've shown great respect to white Australia's heritage. We've never been going out there and destroying. We ask for the same respect back for our heritage, for our people. It just needs to change the date. In this big house behind us, we've got a new Premier. And I make an appeal to that Premier to come and sit and talk with our Aboriginal leaders. The real Aboriginal leaders in this state, not the ticker boxes. And let's try and move forward with a plan to change the date. That's the biggest thing we can ask from Peter Guttman as the new Premier. Let's start the movement to show some mutual respect by them firstly showing us the respect and change the date. Join me, three loud ones. Change the date!
Change, change the date!
Change the date!
Change the date!
Tasmanian Aboriginal up-and-comer who's leading the way for not just Aboriginal people in this state, but for our climate, for our environment, and for our struggles as Aboriginal people. It gives me much pleasure to introduce Jamie Graham Blair, the Seed Indigenous Youth Climate Network and Strong Pakana Man.
Today is a day of remembrance and mourning for many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nations. Today, as I'm sure you all know, marks the day that the British raised their flag in Botany Bay and illegally, even under their own laws, claimed sovereign Aboriginal land as their own. This is the first moment of theft, and the ripple effects from that moment are still being felt today, over two centuries later. But for some, instead of ripples, they feel more like an ever-rising tide. Since that moment, the many language groups, nations and clans across this continent have faced and survived some of the world's most atrocious forms of genocide and human rights abuses, stolen children, outright massacres and biological warfare, slave labour, stolen wages. Our ancestors were rounded up like animals and shipped to offshore detention centres. Segregation, forced assimilation, denial of existence, and the outlawing of our ancient languages, ceremonies, and customs that have helped our people and country thrive here for millennia. It was our deep connection to country and knowledge that had kept us a healthy and proud people for at least 42,500 years. And it is that deep connection to country and each other that saw us survive all of these foul acts committed against us. In this moment today, with all that said, from the bottom of Te Kilamana, I thank my elders and my ancestors for resisting, for fighting, and for being the foundations of our modern community. Thank you for keeping our culture alive in the face of blatant, racist, and often state-sanctioned violence. Without you, our knowledge holders, we would not be witnessing the enormous and historic cultural revival that we're all currently a part of. Every day our language grows stronger. Mina takamuna, lumi muanina miladina ti. Mina rukani, haluakani ti, hakananini tu. Kumila, waranta takamuna rala. Wai!
Wai!
Every day our dance gets stronger, and we showed that very clearly here today. Our ceremony gets stronger, our song lines, our connections, and yes, our youngins are getting stronger. Woo! All of this is happening for a reason. Country needs us, now more than ever. It is her, our country, that calls to us to stand up and fight. When we were taken from our homelands over two centuries ago, it wasn't just us that suffered. New Idina, country, she suffered too, in complicated yet massive ways. The loss of our traditional burning has left the bush thick, overgrown and prone to massive bushfires. Our rights to land were stolen and the right she began to write country clear for factory farming, mining, forestry, urbanisation. And it is these growing industries, extractive industries, that result in our Mother Earth becoming more and more sick every year. Shame. Shame, Marple. Pollution and poison in the forms of greenhouse gases pump into the atmosphere, which are trapping more and more heat on this earth. The ice caps are melting, and this summer, they've melted faster and greater volumes than ever before. The seas are rising and warming, and this is having a direct impact on our country and our culture. Our mutton birds, our mittens and coastal sacred sites, our mariners, these remaining unbroken connections to our old people are under threat. Climate change is here and it scares the tear out of me. But there's one thing. But here's the thing, sorry. We as ancient caretakers of this place have solutions. Sorry. And massive moments like today show me that people are ready to listen and fight for us. You all here give me hope. I know if we work together, if we care for each other and the land itself, the way it has cared for us for millennia, if we continue to resist and stand up and fight like our elders and ancestors have countless times, then we can enact real change. We will get our land back. We will heal our country. We will stop the sixth mass extinction. We will change the date. We will make our old people proud. We will get justice. But only if we work together. Thank you. Always lost, always will be Aboriginal land. Always lost, always will be Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land! Thank you very much.
I would now like to introduce the Speaker of the Tasmanian House of Assembly, Member of Clark, former Mayor of Nipaluna, Sue Hickey, who is also a member of the Liberal Party.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be part of such a huge crowd. It was even more special to be part of that ceremony where the women went into the centre and the men surrounded us with support. I felt very blessed. Thank you.
I have to say, Jimmy,
I understand fully what you were talking about the people who come into Parliament convinced they can make change. And then something happens, and they don't. I haven't given in yet. I still believe, idealistically, that we can make change. In fact, I was appalled when I first came to Parliament, and I realised that all the politicians always started their speech by an acknowledgement of the Aboriginal community. Yet we started Parliament every day without that same respect. So we managed to get that change, and now at every sitting we acknowledge the Tasmanian community, Aboriginal community.
Woo! I feel you mean it.
I mean it. I can't vouch for everyone else. But you've got to start somewhere. And this is the point. Behind me is this gorgeous house which does govern us all. But there are only 25 people in the lower house and 15 in the upper house. I know there are individuals there who share my passion to change this state. What you need to do is not just come out once a year and make a great show, which you've done so eloquently.
It's not a show! It's real,
but you need to do it every single day. All the white people or the people from other nationalities, you need to put pressure on the politicians, you need to write regularly, weekly, you need to sign those change org appeals. You need to step up because one day a year has not cut it for 26 years. This day only got changed.
We wake up every day, though. We wake up every day black.
Right, and I wake up every day white, and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed, so please don't beat me up. What I'm trying to do is help get this day changed. It only got changed in 1994 by the sweep of a pen by the Prime Minister of the day, Paul Keating. Yes, we need an Australia Day, but we need an inclusive Australia Day. We don't need a day of tacky Australia plastic flags and blown up yellow and green kangaroos. We need a day that represents that we are an inclusive community, not only of our multiculturalism, but also of our First People. That's what we should be celebrating. So with a stroke of a pen, another politician can change this state.
A black one! We need a black one!
Well, maybe that would be good to see. But whatever it is, we need to keep the pressure up. So I urge you not just to come out once a year, but every week or every month, please do organise campaigns to continue the pressure, because I know there are people in there who can change. There's plenty of them, but they have to be able to have the courage to stand up to the federal parties, and with your support they'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue Dickey. I think it shows true leadership and takes a lot of guts to be a politician and stand up in front of such a large crowd of proud Aboriginal people and our supporters. There's a lot of politicians who chose not to be here today who are off at Kingston Beach proudly waving their Australian flags and ignoring the fact that they're saying
Thank you. What a fantastic crowd. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak today. I would like to pay my respects and congratulate the Tasmanian Aboriginal community for their leadership, for leading this important debate about how we speak truth to our past and find a better way to celebrate our nation. The City of Hobart, City of Nimbaluna, stands with the Aboriginal community in supporting the campaign to change the date. In 2017, this council agreed to support Invasion Day rallies, and many of the elected members are here today. And we voted to support the Change the Date campaign. Then in 2019, in December, there was unanimous endorsement of our new Aboriginal Action and Commitment Plan. And that commitment plan commits us to working to make visible the truth of our history, including truths like Crowther and his statue, his shameful statue in Franklin Square, and to stand with the Aboriginal people on important matters like this campaign. And the City of Nipaluna, we are not the only ones supporting this cause. Around Australia, local governments have been vocal in supporting their community's concern about celebrating on 26th of January, when it marks such a negative, such a violent moment in our nation's history. And what's been extraordinary in recent years is that the federal government has chosen to fight against this solidarity that local government is showing with the Aboriginal community. The federal government is using more demands and threats against local government as it fights to retain the status quo. As councils around Australia plan to shift celebrations and ceremonies away from the 26th, today is not that far away, just either side of the 26th, the federal government came down like a ton of bricks, saying that councils were being too political. They threatened, and still do threaten, to remove the right of these elected bodies, these democratically elected bodies, from running citizenship ceremonies ever again. And in some cases, they have acted on that threat.
I don't understand why the federal government clings to the 26th, despite the inescapable fact that every year opposition grows and grows. It clings to a day that is now so divisive that it's counterproductive. It divides us rather than unites the community, which is the key reason for having a national day in the first place. I hope that more local governments join this campaign and that we usher in a change to the day we celebrate our nation and our most valued customs, traditions and achievements. The 26th is not that day. It's a day that any truthful history will frown upon. The community of Hobart is united in our love for this place and our desire to celebrate our nation's achievements. But it is a divided community on the question of the 26th of January. And we're divided on the fact that this is not the date to celebrate. And that's why we need to change the date. Change the date.
Change the date!
Non-Aboriginal politicians come out and not just support the Aboriginal community, but to show the rest of the country that we know right, that you know right from wrong. This isn't just an Aboriginal issue. We all call this place our home now, so we must acknowledge the deaths that happened in the place that we call our home. It doesn't need to be a black or white issue, but the same acknowledgement needs to be given to the loss of lives that happened here that we provide everyone else. So thank you. I'd now like to introduce Tom Lynch, the Secretary of the Community Public Sector Union. Thanks, Tom.
Wow, what an impressive crowd, and that's coming from somebody who spends a lot of time rallying on these lawns to try and make Tasmania a better place. It's an honour to have the opportunity to speak here today, and I thank the Aboriginal community for that opportunity. I'm the Secretary of the Community and Public Sector Union, a union that's represented public sector workers in this state since 1897. We're just one of many unions that represent around 50,000 Tasmanian workers and their families in Tasmania, and around 2 million workers around this country. And we're here today to offer our support for this campaign to change the date. Another year's gone by, and our plea to change the date remains. We're not asking much. We're just saying that our National Day of Celebration is not held on a day that represents dispossession, murder, genocide. A day that is a day of mourning for our Aboriginal people. We're saying, let's celebrate our National Day. There are things we should celebrate as people. There's things that we have achieved together that we should celebrate. But let's do it on a day that is not insulting to our First Nations people or to any other group in our community. Now, when Captain Cook sailed down the east coast of Australia in 1770, it was claimed he discovered Australia. That would have come as a bit of a surprise to the almost 1 million people who were already living on this continent and had been for eons. When the British arrived in Sydney in 1788, they came with the great lie of terra nullius.
Shame!
This was an empty land, free for the taking. Now, one of the reasons they were able to claim this was because for 65,000 years, Aboriginal people had been living in harmony with the plants and the animals of this ancient continent. They were living in harmony with the rivers and the streams, the forests and the wetlands, the soil and the air. They took what they needed to survive, but their customs and traditions meant that every plant and every animal had a right to exist, and that they were part of this land, not separate to it. I wonder if Aboriginal people had flattened the great forests of Australia and cleared the land for agriculture before the British arrived, whether the lie of Terra Nullius would have been much harder to perpetuate. Now we roll forward 230 years. Here we are in 2020. Our nation burns. Our rivers and streams have been destroyed by drought, by pollution, by irrigation. Our ancient soils are washing away or blowing away. At times recently, our air has been unbreathable. Our unique species are on the brink of extinction, and the few forests that we have remaining are at risk of burning. Now, as we face catastrophe as a nation and as a people across this planet, finally a few voices are asking, how did Aboriginal people exist here for 65,000 years? Is there something we can learn from their land management practices, their care for animals and plants, their respect for the country in which they live? Can we actually learn from this great culture that we've inherited?
Yes.
People who fail to learn from their past are condemned to repeat their mistakes. Until Australia comes to terms with our history and embraces the culture and learnings of the people who have lived on this continent for 65,000 years, then we will be a lesser people, a lesser nation. Change today. It's a tiny step. It will need to be followed by some much larger and much more courageous steps. But it's a first step, and it's way beyond time that we took it. Change the date.
I'd like to pay respects to my ancestors. I'd like to pay respect to the elders who are here with us. And I'd also like to pay respects to this country. Australia Day, Invasion Day, symbolises a lot of things. It symbolises the relationship that Australian government, white Australia, has with Aboriginal people. It symbolises the relationship where a day of mourning and trauma can be a party. A country where partying on such a day has a lot to answer for. But there is change. It indicates the relationship where Aboriginal people are subjugated and oppressed. After 200 years of colonialism, the colonial mentality is still pervasive. It indicates the relationship where Aboriginal people are powerless. The power structure within this country is such that Aboriginal people have no power, no control, no self-determination over Aboriginal affairs. And that's got to change. In fact, it's gone backwards. What gains had been made in the 80s and 90s have well and truly fallen away to the new Liberal governments. And what does this mean for all of us? This means that the Aboriginal people, the Aboriginal knowledge, the Aboriginal community, the Aboriginal connection to the land is also oppressed. And what does this mean to all of us? It means the land is oppressed. It means the country is suffering. It means the rivers are dying. It's getting too hot to live here anymore. That's from the mining companies who have all the power. They run the government. Corporation-backed governments are destroying this place. So we need to shift the power. We need to shift the power where Aboriginal people have a real say and a real decision-making power at the highest level in this country. And when that happens, we will see what will grow and blossom from within this country. We will see the Aboriginal nation grow. We will see the knowledge and the wisdom and the care that the Aboriginal nation has spread to all of us. Because we're pretty fucked at the moment. Now, there's a lot of talk at the moment, of course, with the destruction of the the environment, with the bushfires. All these things could have been prevented. And we can prevent into the future more destruction, but it takes a lot of commitment and takes a lot of work. I'm also a director on the Fire 6 Alliance, which is a national body involving communities from around Australia coming together to share knowledge on fire and caring for country, because that's what it comes down to. The connection to country and the care for country has to be reinvigorated and reinstated. But how we do this? We don't do it by hiring more public servants, not by creating more councils and advisory committees. We do this by promoting the principles of self-determination for Aboriginal people to grow that knowledge. To take that knowledge back out onto the country. Not a version of it, or a co-opted, diluted way of doing it, or taking the knowledge and putting it back into the government departments. Growing the knowledge in the holistic way it needs to be done. The mistakes have already been made too many times with this sort of stuff, so we've got to change it. So we do need to change the date, and we do need to change the system, and we do need to change the nation. And the Fire 6 Alliance, working with many different Aboriginal communities around Australia, look it up on the website, go onto Facebook, learn how you can support, learn how you can donate to community-controlled, community-led bodies that are actually trying to do the hard work of improving the situation in this country for Aboriginal people, but also for the whole nation. So what do we want to do? We want to change the date. We want to change the system. We want to change the nation. Change the date, change the system, and change the nation. Thank you very much.
I acknowledge with profound respect that we gather today on Aboriginal land, the lands of the Murrinina people. I pay my respects to the many elders here. And all I have to say today is really an extended acknowledgement. I feel it deeply privileged to be able to offer these words as a white man at this gathering. But I'm not here today because this is a politically correct place to be. Not because I don't value the Western culture which I'm a product, not because I don't love Australia. I'm here because in the end, a nation can only be securely founded on a true telling of its history and celebrations that embody values that unite us rather than those that divide us. And if that is to happen, we need to keep momentum in the national conversation about this day. I know it's a deeply uncomfortable conversation. We have to talk about troubling truths in our national narrative. But one of the other truths that makes this a special country is that we cherish the freedom to respectfully have those most difficult of discussions. And the troubling truth with which we need to begin is that the formal proclamation of British sovereignty on 26 January 1788 was also a formal proclamation of invasion. It was the moment when the intent to dispossess without treaty or agreement was made legally and administratively unambiguous. And was indeed. And integral to that dispossession was the immoral and illegal use of force. We know that all too well here in La Truita, Tasmania, that the attempts to take country from Aboriginal people and impose on a Western concept of property was resisted by force and by war. In turn, that resistance was met with military action. Here and in other places around the country, citizens and the constabulary backed their dispossession with firearms, force, and even poison. The scale and nature of that violence descended into the moral darkness of massacres, which stain our national soil and our soul with blood. In time, invasion became part of genocide. When you stand on land as we do today, where there are no living descendants of the people who cared for this country for tens of thousands of years, it is hard to find another word. There are those who contest the use of words of invasion and genocide, almost as though in doing so they might reduce the gravity of what occurred. But perhaps the reverse is true. The systematic multi-generational dispossession of an entire continent and its islands by force, policy, economics, and disease, taking it from the world's oldest continuous culture, seems to be a wrong in a category all of its own. We need to remember in the 20th century, the world had to invent the word genocide to describe what Churchill called crimes without a name. I do wonder, when we look around the world at similar wrongdoings done to Indigenous peoples in many lands, whether we still confront a crime without a name. And if we are to be a nation truly founded, we have to give an accurate name and an honest accounting of what occurred. And we have to find a way forward. And I think a clue lies back on that day in the Western Reckoning of Time on 26 January 1788, and in that proclamation of sovereignty. We need to recognise that this claim was made out of an understanding of concepts of law, land and property, which belong to a very particular civilization. And I think contrary to what the High Court concluded in the Mabo case, it concluded that the understanding of this particular civilization and the acts that followed, I think it was wrong. I don't think anything that followed took away anything from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples or their lands. They had a completely different understanding of country and the relationship between people, country, and what we might crudely translate as law. To impose by force one understanding of land does not remove the existence of the other understanding or the relationship created by it. What we have is two whole systems sitting of knowledge and relationship to country and land sitting side by side. We have two realities, two worlds, two systems, and we cannot build a future built on just one of them. And this is especially so where the best we can do in that one system that dominates is to give original owners of the land what slipped through the history of invasion and dispossession. That serves to build our future on the wrongs of the past. It fails to honour a civilization, a system of knowledge of countless generations. And more than ever, the future of this continent depends on honouring that knowledge. These are the people who lived on this continent without empire or ecological collapse. And recent days have reminded us they knew how to make fire the servant of the care of this country, not an enemy that destroys it. How many lessons have we still to learn? Where there are two completely different civilizational systems, neither reducible to the other, both occupying the same space, in my view, the only way forward is treaty. Together, we need to create a new understanding, a new imagining about how we have two systems in one place. We can anticipate how hard that will be. The ambitions, the hopes, the tears, the anger, the disappointments, the breakdowns, the make-ups and then the moments of magic when we break the bonds of the past and we build the future and we build from the future back. And I have confidence that we would finally fashion something worthy of the best of the histories and hopes of all of those involved. And when that treaty was signed and sealed with ceremonies, it would be our 4th of July. our declaration of interdependence, of the kind of nation we'd chosen to be. It would be a true national day. We would join our cousins in Aotearoa, New Zealand, across the waters. They used to celebrate the founding of the colony on 29 January, the date when William Hobson arrived in the Bay of Islands to proclaim his appointment. Today, their national day is Waitangi Day, 6th of February, the day when Maori signed the Waitangi Treaty with the British. Such a treaty and a day would not just unite two worlds. It would provide us with a day where belonging in Australia was about what you believed, not when you arrived. It would honour values we have chosen, not celebrating our role as a location for someone else's penal colony. It would celebrate a national moment, not just the story of a single state. As a nation, we would become not just a federation of states, but a federation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as well, sovereignty intact. I know that some will say this day lies far in the future, but for the sake of the health of the soul of the nation, we need to hasten that day to change the date.
I would like to introduce him as one of our biggest and best non-Aboriginal supporters, a radical from way back, a fighter for the protection of our ancient heritage and ancient land since the very early days, a bloody legend, activist and former leader of the Australian Greens, Bob Brown!
Thank you. I come in peace. Please don't shoot. Two things. One is that 3 months before the slaughter at Brisbane Cove and on the Tamar in 1804, a British surveyor was pegging out the land on the eastern shore. And the Maramana people confronted him and pulled out the stakes. And the British opened fire. But from the outset, this land was never ceded, and the people took action to show the country was our country. It wasn't there for the invaders to stake out and take as they wanted. The second thing is the opinion poll today from the Australia Institute. This is changing. Ask, do you want a change of date for Invasion Day? 60% of Australians said yes. The majority is here tonight. Hey, all for the night. You, a U-turn from the invasive mentality of the past. S, stop the destruction. T, truth. Let's have truth in our own history, including in Canberra. Ah, recompense and reconciliation, because that comes out of the truth to the first Australians, not least the first Tasmanians. A, alter the date. L, lest we forget the thousands who died defending their country and have died or been left miserable by the colonial attitude in the following 2+ centuries. I immediately A, alter the date.
Thank you, Bob Brown, and thank you to all our wonderful speakers, as well as all of you who have been standing out here in the heat for a very long time listening to our wonderful speakers. I'd now like to introduce the wonderful, the deadly, the black, talented singers, Ketanya Maynard, Jody Haynes, and Drew Green. Mom, it's amazing to see so many people supporting us and changing this heinous shit. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask those who celebrate Australia Day. And they should be afraid because I'm an angry black woman. Would you celebrate your ancestors' murder? Would you celebrate the rape of your great-grandmothers?
No!
Would you celebrate your ancestors' children being taken away and never to see their family again?
No!
Would you celebrate the stealing of your ancestors' remains to be out on display for everyone to see?
No!
If you answer no, then I have another question for you. And this is not for our allies, by the way. This is for those who think celebrating Australia Day is an innocent act. Why do you insist on celebrating the deaths of my ancestors? The rape of my mothers before me, the children of my people who were forced to be alone, and to my ancestors who are still sitting and collecting dust in museums all around the world, never returning home.
Shame.
Shame. Shame on you for celebrating invasion that you should be ashamed. And you, the white man's Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, should be ashamed.
Shame.
The world is watching you and all that you do. They are watching and believe me, you won't get away with your disgusting agenda much longer because all of our allies here and at our marches all around Australia today are showing their support. They are standing up with us and letting those who oppress us know that Invasion Day is not okay. That to celebrate a country which hides their racism, their their homophobia and prejudices behind the saying, in Australia everyone gets a fair go. Well, it's not true. Change the dates is not hard. The only reason you wouldn't is because you believe in the oppression of your Indigenous people. And if you just turn a blind eye, then you're just as guilty too.
Expecting by night possession and dancing on graves. We are crying, gotta change the day. Change the day. Change the day. It's time to take a stand. We're standing here on sacred land. How can we come together when we keep on denying? What more proof do you need? How much do we have to bleed? Now's the time to make things right. To unite, we gotta change the day. Change the day. Change the day. Change the day. We'll be dancing on the graves if we celebrate Invasion Day. We will not celebrate the killings of our old people. No. We will not celebrate the killings of our old people. We will not celebrate the killings of our old people. We gotta change the day.
Thank you for writing this song.